Word.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High.
In glory.
Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven. Sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Can you sing number one? You are the Word.
You were the Word at the beginning.
One with God.
One with God, the Lord Most High.
In glory, Lord.
Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
You didn't want heaven without us. Sing that again.
You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down.
Sin was great.
Sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again.
Yes.
You have no rival, and you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign.
Yes.
Yours is the kingdom.
The glory.
Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names.
Death could not hold you.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you.
Thank you, Jesus.
You silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring.
Hallelujah.
The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again.
You have no rival, Lord.
You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of
what a powerful
Jesus.
Name.
What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
What a powerful name it is. What a beautiful name.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name.
What a wonderful name.
What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King.
Wonderful name.
What a wonderful name it is.
Nothing.
Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name.
What a powerful name it is.
What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
What a powerful name it is.
The name of Jesus.
What a powerful name it is.
The name of Jesus.
We worship the name, yeah.
What a wonderful name it is. A wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Brother Kenneth, you can come on. While he's coming, I was thinking about the words of this song. You know, there's place for honor, there's place for worship. And then you come into the phrase where he's powerful, and that calls on the power of the Lord. So I would encourage you, if there's places in your life this week where power is lacking, call on the name of Jesus for him to fill in those spaces. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Whitson. It is a delight to be here with you today. I feel a great honor in order to be able to come just to minister to each of you today. The Lord's been good to us, and I just thank the Lord for what he's done. I thank him for every time that he's reached down, touched my heart, and helped me, because the Lord has certainly been with me, and he's helped me in many different ways. I'd love to take time to just spend a little time with you and reminiscing some of the things of the past, but that's not what I came to do. I came to preach the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Judges chapter 16. I'm going to begin with verse 28, going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I believe we need to honor him whenever that we are reading him. John said that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So whenever we get in the Word of God, then what we're doing, we're getting into where Jesus is at. And I believe that's him. Beginning with verse 28, it said, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O Lord, that I may once or be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." Whenever I started reading this, I wondered, how could Samson get in such a place that he would have to ask God, "God, would you do something one more time? Would you do something one more time?" I want to use for a thought this morning, Lord, would you do it again? Lord, will you do it again? I believe we've got in a place today where we need to do just like Samson did, said, Lord, will you do it again? Amen. You may be seated. Before Samson was born, an angel came to Manoah's wife, which was Samson's father, and told her in Judges 13, 3 and 4, and said, "And now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not anything." He was saying, keep yourself pure and holy while you're carrying this baby for the baby's sake. And said, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So he's saying that he's going to begin to do a great work. For some 40 years, the children of Israel had been in bondage to the Philistines, and God was wanting to deliver them, and he was raising up a man to be able to do that. Manoah's wife had that son, as the angel really told her, and he called his name Samson, and the Lord blessed him whenever he was born. He was born for a purpose, because the angel had said, he shall begin to deliver the children of Israel are from the hand of the Philistines. As he grew, the Spirit of the Lord began to get upon him. But as time went on, Samson began to desire the women of the Philistines. Manoah and his wife tried to discourage him and tell him, said, "Listen, you don't want to go to there. You want to get women that are of our family that are of our nation. But what they did not know was, in verse 4 of chapter 14, it said, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that the Lord sought an occasion against the Philistines. When Samson went down to Timnath, he found a woman there that he really loved. He went back home and he told his father and his mother, he said, I want you to go and I want you to get her for me, for I love her. They tried to discourage him, but that did not work. So finally they went there. A great feast was made while they were there, and as it used to be, and 7 days they had a feast. And during this feast, Samson decided, I want to play around a little bit like a lot of us do. And he started, and he had 30 companions that were with him during this feast. And he gave a riddle unto them. And he told them in this riddle, he said, that if you will be able to give me the answer to the riddle within 7 days, I'll give each of you a change of garment. I'll give each of you a sheet that you can have. But if you're not able to, then at the end of those 7 days, you're going to have to give it to me. So these Philistines, they went and they started talking to this woman that Samson had loved and said, I want you to find out where his strength really lay, because we want to find out where it is. We've got to overcome him in some way. And told her, if you do not do that, then we're going to burn you and your father and everything you have if you will not find out. So she began to tell Samson. She said, Samson, how is it that you would put a riddle to some of my people and never tell me anything at all about it? Samson, he would not tell her. Said, I haven't even told my mother, haven't told my father. But finally, she kept on after him till he told her the riddle. Whenever that he did, she went and told those Philistines the riddle. They went, and on the seventh day, they answered that riddle to him. It upset Samson so much that he went down to Ashkelon. Whenever he went there, he slew 30 of the Philistines. After he slew them, he took a change of garment from them. He took a sheet from them and brought it back and gave to those companions that he had with him. But this upset him so bad that he went and he slew 1,000 of the Philistines because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Later on, he went down to the Valley of Sorek. Whenever he went down to the Valley of Sorek, he saw a woman named Delilah that he fell in love with. Now, Delilah, I do not find anywhere that she fell in love with Samson. The only thing that I find out she fell in love with was the money that was promised her if she could find out where his strength really lay. So she began to say unto him, Samson, where is it that your strength lays? How is it that you get so strong like you really do? And whenever she kept on asking him, telling him, finally, I believe Samson said, you know, it'd be fun just to have a little fun with her today. So he told her, he said, if you would bind me with 7 green withes that have never been dried, or 7 vines is really what it was, then I'll be like any other man. So she caused him to go to sleep. I can never understand how anybody can go to sleep so soundly that you can tie 7 vines around him and not wake him up. But he slept right on through it. Whenever she woke him up and said, the Philistine be upon you, he just jumped up from there. He broke them off as if they were nothing at all. So she went back and began to tell him. I believe by this time he was having a lot of fun with her, because he was just sort of playing around, and he enjoyed playing around. And as he was playing around, he finally told her, if you'll bind me with new ropes that have never been used, then I'll be like any other. She caused him to go to sleep. Whenever he did, she bound him. But she found out whenever she woke him up, he just broke them off. And she kept right on again. I believe he was thinking, now it's funny watching her big like she is. I just enjoy being able to do this. But friend, I believe that if I had told somebody and thought I was having a lot of fun, and they were trying their best to find out where my strength was, trying to take it away from me, I believe I'd wake up and I'd say, listen, I've got to go somewhere else. You don't really care about me. But oh, he loved her so much, and she kept right on begging to where that he told her. He said, if you'll weave the 7 locks of my hair, then I'll be like any other man. She wove those 7 locks with a web. Whenever he woke or she woke him up, he got up from there and he went out and he carried that on his head just like that he had before. But friend, I want to tell you something. This woman had made up her mind. I'm not playing around anymore. I'm going to find out where that strength is. And we had better make up our mind that the devil is not playing around with you and I. It may be fun to sort of play a little bit every once in a while, but friend, the devil is playing for keeps. Delilah was playing for keeps. She made up her mind, I'm going to find out where this strength is. I don't care how long it takes me. I don't care what I have to do. And friend, the devil is after every one of us. He don't care what he has to do to get us. He'll give you anything. He'll do anything for you to get you if you're not careful. We had better wake up. So she finally came to him again and said, now listen, Samson, you've been mocking me. You've been making fun. And I know it's fun to you, and I understand that. But if you really love me, you would tell me. How many times has the devil told you and I that? How many times has the devil used somebody to tell you that? If you really love me now, you'll do this. If you really love me, you'll do that. If you really love me, there's something about whenever you love somebody and they want you to prove it, you'll do everything you can to try to prove it. But it's time that instead of proving that we love the things of the world and what the devil trying to give us, that we tell Jesus, Jesus, I love you so much, I'll do anything that you want me to do. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what you would have me to do. I will do it. Finally, whenever that he told her, if you shave my head because my head has never been shaven, then I'll be like any other man. She realized that he had poured his heart out to her. She called the Philistines again and she said, I want you to come up one more time and just bring a razor along with you. I'm going to let him sleep on my lap and you just come in and you shave that head. Whenever they did, she woke Samson up. And the Bible said in the 16th chapter, verse 20, it said, and he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as of other time before and shake myself. He's saying, I've done it before. It's all right. I got by with it before. I played around before and I got by with it. I'm going to do it this time. But he wished not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. If we're not careful, the Spirit of God's going to depart from you and I. If we keep playing around, we had better get serious with God. We had better get serious about doing what God wants us to do. Amen. He didn't realize the Spirit had gone from him. Whenever that he shook himself, that strength did not come again. The Philistines came in. They bound him. They put out his eyes. They carried him to the prison house, and he began to grind there in the prison house. I'm sure that while he was there, Samson made up his mind, this is all I can do the rest of my life. All I can do is just go round and round and round. I'll never be able to get out again. A friend of mine that I have talked to, I don't know how many times, good man, comes to church almost every service that there is. And whenever he comes to church, he'll sit there. He'll give. He helps. He'll do anything he can to help somebody. I have talked to him about giving his heart to the Lord. And you can't ever seem to get through. Here not too long ago, he and I were talking. He was sitting there in the church, and there were very few there at that time. And I started talking with him, and I said, listen, you need to give your heart to the Lord. And I could see tears sort of beginning to get in his eyes. And he looked at me, and he said, I've gone too far. I don't believe he has yet. I believe the devil just tricking him on this. Because I don't believe that conviction will begin to grip that heart whenever he's like that. But what he was saying is, I played around too long. It's too late for me. But friend, we had better be careful or we will play around too long and it's going to be too late. But then there was a time whenever the Philistines began to get together. But the thing that I noticed about in the 13th chapter, verse 7, whenever that the angel was talking to Manoah's wife and said, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb until the day of his death. He's saying no matter what he does, no matter where he goes, that calling is going to be on his life. And I want to tell you, friend, if God put a calling on your life, I don't care how far you may stray away from God. I don't care where you may go. You're going to have to give an account to God for the calling he placed on your life. Do you remember whenever that Jesus was here, he told the parable of the talents. Whenever the man was getting ready to go off on his journey, he gave to his servant certain talents. To one he gave five, to another two, to another one. But whenever he returned again, they had to give an account for what they had done with what God had given unto them. And friend, whenever we stand before God, we're going to have to give an account of the calling God has placed on our life. Paul said in Romans 11, 29, he said, for the gift and callings of God are without repentance. I believe he's saying God doesn't take it away from you. You're still going to have to answer to it. It's time we better get busy and do what God would have us to do. Finally, whenever the Philistines was having a great time and they had called all the lords of the Philistines in, and what a great number there was there. And finally, someone said, let's bring Samson out and we're just going to have a lot of fun with him, because Samson, he was able to overcome us for a while, but he can't anymore. And we're going to just have sport, as they called it. And whenever they brought him out, he went and he was in there in the middle. I don't know exactly how that building may have been, but I can just imagine in my own mind it was sort of like one of these buildings where that down on the ground floor there would be a lot of games that may be played, and then there was balconies all around. But whenever that building was built, it must have been right in the very middle. They had put two pillars that held the roof up in the middle to where that it would hold that building up. Whenever they brought Samson came out, and he was there for a little while. But whenever he was there, he began to realize, maybe I can one more time do what God has called me to do. Whenever that he got to where those pillars were, a little lad was taking him. He said, would you just bring me over to where those pillars are that are holding the building up? He got over there. He put one arm around one. He put the other arm around another. And he began to pray. And he said, oh, Lord God, remember me. I pray thee, strengthen me. I pray thee only this one time. And whenever he did, Samson with all his might pushed against those pillars, and it caused the building to fall, to where that he killed more in that day than he did in his entire lifetime. Friend, I want you to know God is still able one more time to do it for you and I if we'll only allow him to. I believe that God has a calling on every individual that was ever been born. Now, it is not God's plan for anyone to be born out of wedlock. It is not God's plan for anyone to be born because of rape that may take place. But I don't care. You may be one that was born out of wedlock. You may be one that was born because of rape. But God still has a calling on your life. God can still use you. I don't care who you are. Friend, God wants to use every one of us, because Paul said in Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together for them to good, to them who are called according to his purpose. God has a purpose for us. Oh, I thought about in the book of Acts where that Saul began to make havoc of the church, but God had a calling on his life. Even though that he was going in the wrong direction, he was doing the wrong thing. But whenever he was on that road to Damascus, Jesus struck him down, and he was carried over into Damascus blind, and for 3 days he fasted and prayed. But God spoke to a man named Ananias, and he told him, he said, I want you to go over and I want you to pray for him, because he is a chosen vessel unto me. And he had a purpose, and he went and did the work. Whenever he came down toward the end of his life, he was testifying before King Agrippa, and he said, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, Jesus telling him, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these which thou hast seen and of those which I will appear unto thee. But then Paul finally said, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto that heavenly vision. I wonder how many of us have been disobedient to the heavenly vision God has given us, the work that God has called us to do. I don't believe any of us have ever finished the work God called us to do, because I believe the day we finish the work God called us to do, he's going to carry us home. And friend, what a day that's going to be whenever he carries us home. But then I believe it's time that we say, Lord, will you do it again? Just before that, Jesus ascended into heaven. He told his followers, he said, but wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me. In Luke recorded, he said, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Both that word wait and the word tarry, it carries the idea that you're supposed to go and you're supposed to stay with one thing in mind until you get what that Jesus has promised unto you. You see, whenever they went to the upper room, I don't know how many it was heard Jesus say that. There are many Bible scholars believe that whenever Paul said that at one time over 500 brethren had saw Jesus on this one occasion, they believed that it was whenever he ascended into heaven and whenever he told them this. If it was, I don't know what happened to 380 of them, but I know 120 stayed in that upper room. It could very well have been all 500 went to the upper room and said, I'm going to go, I'm going to get what he sent, or what he said going to send to me. But whenever they got up there, it wasn't long until they started getting discouraged, because it didn't happen in an hour. It didn't happen in a couple of hours. It didn't happen the first day, and they started dwindling away until 380 of them had already gone. But 120 made up their mind, I don't care how long I have to wait. I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to wait. I'm going to receive what Jesus promised he was going to send. You see, we're living in an instant world today, and whenever we live in this instant world, if it doesn't happen right now, they're not going to wait around any longer. I remember whenever I was coming up, people that desired the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they'd get in an altar and they'd start praying. It didn't make any difference if it was in morning service. If it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they were still praying. If it was 2, still praying. 3, still praying. And now if they come and stay 5 minutes, if it doesn't happen, I've got to go because I've got to get somewhere else. But friend, we had better get ready and say, I don't care how long it takes, I'm going to stay. That 120 went up there and they stayed until they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their life. Friend, it's time that we stay again. The Holy Ghost came. I believe that we need again to begin to say, Lord, would you pour out the Holy Ghost again like you did on that 120 in the upper room? Whenever the Holy Ghost was poured out upon them, they came out of that upper room and 3,000 souls were saved. I wonder, how many souls have you saw saved since you received the Holy Ghost? Have you been a witness like Jesus wanted you to be? Oh no, we're not. It's time that we begin to say, Lord, pour out your Spirit again like you did in that day. We need to have the Holy Ghost being poured out like it was over in Samaria. Whenever Philip had gone over having a great revival, the church of Jerusalem heard about it. Peter and John went over to check it out. Whenever they went over, they began to lay hands on people. And whenever they did, they started receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I say it's time that we start laying hands on people and seeing the Holy Ghost being poured out again. Whenever that Peter had gone over to Cornelius' house, it said, and while he spoke, the Holy Ghost began to be poured out upon the people in the congregation. Nobody laid hands on them. Nobody had prayed for them. They were so hungry that they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Friend, it's time we get hungry again, that we can see the outpouring of the Holy Ghost again. I say, God, would you do it one more time? We've got to have it. Whenever they started seeing the Holy Ghost poured out, it caused miracles beginning to take place. I say, Lord, we need to see miracles again. If you remember in chapter 3 of Acts, whenever that Peter and John was going down to the temple to pray, it being the ninth hour of the day, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was a man laying there by the gate, beautiful, that had been asking alms of everyone that would come by. For 40 years, he had not been able to walk because from his very birth, he was born a cripple and could not walk. Somebody would bring him and lay him there every day, and him begging. Whenever Peter and John went by, Peter looked at him and he said, look on us. I can imagine what that man felt like whenever he said that. He probably felt like, I'm going to get a pretty good offering today. They probably got a lot of money they're going to put in. It's going to make me feel good. But then Peter said something that he did not understand. He said, silver and gold have I none. Said, I don't even have a penny to give you. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. You know, many times whenever we pray for people, we start praying for them and we say, you know, if you'll just have faith, believe God's going to heal you. You have faith, believe God's going to heal you. Peter didn't tell him that. That man, I can just imagine what went through his mind. I believe that man thought, you are crazy today because I have never walked in my life and now you're telling me get up and walk. And the Bible said that Peter reached down and lifted him up. And whenever he lifted him up, his ankles received strength. It was not what that man did. It was what Peter believed could happen. And friend, I say one more time, let us see miracles. It's not what somebody that needs it is, but it is what we ourselves believe that God is going to do. And we believe it so much that we can see it happen. We've got to see miracles again. We've got to see miracles again. And we can if we'll pray, Lord, would you do it again? Why, it happened so much that it said that what they did, that they would take and bring forth the sick and lay upon couches out beside the road, that maybe the shadow of Peter could overshadow them. They believed that a miracle would happen just for a shadow coming over them. What power they believed that a man of God had. Does anyone believe you've got the power of God in your life? We need to let people know the power of God still is in our hearts, in our lives. If we have the Holy Ghost, we ought to have the power of God just like they did in that day. But we need to experience revivals like they had in days gone by. We need to have a revival that's going to cause people to change their way of living. We have revivals today. People come to the altar, they pray, say they got saved, and you never see any change in their life. It's time we see a change in that life again. And friend, it can happen. We need a revival like it happened at Thessalonica. Whenever that Paul and them had gone into Thessalonica, the people said, these that have turned the world upside down have come hither. It's time that people realize that everywhere we go, we can turn the world upside down with the power of God in our lives. And we need a revival that's going to turn our communities upside down. We need a revival like they had at Ephesus. Whenever they had a revival there at Ephesus, it said, many also which brought their curious arts and brought their books together and burned them before all the men. They counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Whenever Dake wrote his Bible in 1961, he said that that silver or 50,000 pieces of silver were worth $32,000. Can you imagine how it would be worth today that if people were to come out again? But I say we need a revival again, that people would go in their homes and they'd begin to drag out magazines and books they don't need. They'd begin to drag out videos they don't need. They'd begin to drag out all of these different video games that people play. And I believe it would astound every one of us if just those that were here right now would bring them in the amount of money that they're worth. Friend, it's time we have a revival that's going to change this world. I read or saw here just the other day, and it said in California and also in New York City, there has been a law that has been passed that whenever a baby is born, they do not put on that birth certificate whether it is male or female. They put on that birth certificate that it is neutral gender. Then whenever that child gets big enough and they decide whether I want to be a boy or I want to be a girl, then they can have it put on. Friend, I'm telling you that this world is in bad shape. They say it's just an alternative lifestyle that people are living. Paul, whenever he wrote to those at Rome, he let them know that it was sin. It was sin then. It is still sin today. We had better wake up and realize what's going on around about us. God has not changed. We need a revival that's going to shake our homes, that's going to shake our church, that's going to shake our community. You see, I'm saying, Lord, send a revival again that is going to wake up America. Peter, whenever he preached on the day of Pentecost, he let us know that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I don't believe anyone could ever say that we're not living in the last day now. He's saying he will do it. And I say, Lord, would you one more time pour out your spirit? Jesus told his followers, he said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost burst has come upon you. Now that word power was dunamis. A lot of people talk about it being dynamite power. I don't even like that translation or that idea of what it is, because dynamite, whenever it goes off one time, it's over with. That's it. But it could also mean miraculous power. He said you can have miraculous power. And friend, that's what I'm looking for in this day that I'm living in today. We need a personal revival. I believe that Elijah in the days of old had a personal revival in his heart, in his life, that he could walk up to old King Ahab and he could say, King, I want you to know it will not rain again except at my word. I can just imagine what Ahab must have thought. He thought, that's the craziest thing I've heard in my life. They ain't no man can control weather. He can't tell when it's going to rain or not. The only way he can tell is if he goes out and he feels water falling from the sky, he can say it's raining. If he goes out and there's not any water falling, he says it's not raining. But Elijah said, it won't rain except at my word. A week went by, no rain. A month went by, no rain. 2 months went by, no rain. I believe Ahab began to think, hey, there's something to this thing. He must know a little something I don't know. He must have got a long-range forecast that I don't know anything about, and he did. He got a forecast all the way from heaven. That's the forecast we need. 3 1/2 years it did not rain. Finally, Elijah showed himself to Ahab again. He proved who God was. After he proved who God was, he took and slew the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves. Then he said, it's time for me to go up on the mountain and pray again. But before he went to pray, he had never saw a cloud in the sky. He had never heard a clap of thunder. He had never saw lightning flash at all. But he told Ahab, he said, there is a sound of abundance of rain. Never saw a sign of it, but it says it's coming. He went up on the mountain. He started praying. He sent his servant, said, go over, look out over the Mediterranean Sea and tell me what you see. He came back. He said, I see nothing. Elijah kept right on praying. He said, go back again. He went back the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth time, come back, told him the same thing. That didn't discourage Elijah. I want to tell you, we need a revival today. Don't get discouraged if it doesn't happen the first time you pray. Don't get discouraged the first time an evangelist comes in. Don't get discouraged whenever you have evangelist after evangelist and you really don't see a revival. I don't know. I noticed in the bulletin that Brother Franklin is going to be coming the 1st of April and going to have revival. That may be the time that we're having the last day revival that God said is going to be poured out. I wonder how many of us can say, like Elijah did, there is a sound of abundance of rain right now. The only reason he could is because he had been in touch with God. It's time we get in touch with God and we say, God, I want to see a last day revival. Would you do it one more time? But the seventh time, whenever that servant went out, he came back and he said, I see a cloud as a man's hand rising out of the sea. And he told him, he said, you go tell old Ahab, they better get to Jezreel because the rain is getting ready to come. Don't let it stop. Yeah. And friend, I want to tell you, if we ever see the least sign of revival, hold on to it. Keep on praying. Keep on believing God. Let's see revival. We need it today. I say, God, would you one more time send that last day revival? Send it to us. We've got to have it. I've got loved ones that's lost without God. I've got grandchildren lost without God. I want to see them saved, and I want to see a revival that's going to stir their hearts. I want to see a revival that's going to stir their hearts. Can you today say, Lord, one more time? Would you do it one more time? I don't know what your need is here this morning. You may not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you don't, you need Him right now. And I believe He can come into your heart. If you're a child of God, you've got a clean vessel, He can come in. But He will not come in a dirty vessel. It's only going to be the clean that He's going to come in. If you're here, you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you want Him in your heart, I want you to come right now. We're going to pray with you. I believe God is going to give the Holy Ghost this morning to those that desire Him more than anything else. We've played around long enough. It's time we get serious. If you need a miracle, I want you to come on right now. We're going to pray with you. I'm believing God's going to work miracles here today. Would you right now? If you want to see a revival, I know one's coming. But if you really want to see a revival, I want you to come and I want to stand around in front of this altar this morning. We're going to pray for a revival. And I believe we're going to see it. It's getting ready to happen. Do you want revival? Come on. Come on. I've got to have a revival more than anything else. I've got to have a revival more than anything else. I've got to have it, first of all, in my own heart. It'll never happen in the church unless it happens in my own life. It'll never happen in this church unless you let it happen in your heart and in your life to begin with. Lord, would you one more time? One more time, would you? Pour out your Spirit. Heavenly Father, as we come to you again,